This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My brothers, my sisters, I'm excited to be in Luton once again, mashallah. This time, there are so many of you on the stage, mashallah. Look at our brothers, mashallah. And I see right in front of me, brother Omar Regan, as I walked in, mashallah, I told him, I think I'm going to start joking in my speech by just looking at your face. Because I feel like laughing when I see him, you know. But that happens sometimes. We traveled together a few times. Recently, we were in Australia. We traveled from city to city. You want to know the distance in hours between Perth and Sydney? What was it, Sheikh? It was like 4.5 hours. Yeah, you're right. Just in one country. MashaAllah. You can imagine what was happening to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. You can go and listen to our brother to know what happened. MashaAllah. He says it in a beautiful way. MashaAllah. My brothers, my sisters, the world has changed. The world has changed. And it will keep on changing. And sometimes things happen that make it change so quickly, so dramatically, that you need to pause for a moment to think about where you were just a few years ago. I give you an example. When I was little, in the 50s and 60s, just before I was little, should I say, do you know the phone, the telephone, forget about the mobile phone, forget about video calling, forget about all of that. Just the telephone was only for privileged people. If you wanted to send a message across the country, you needed to book a call. You actually needed to probably go to the post office. You needed to, if you needed to send an urgent message, there was something called a telegram. And a telex at some point. A telex was supposed to be advanced, you know. And they had to type out little letters. You paid per letter. So they already started the abbreviating from that time, you know, condensing. But the world changed. The world changed. I remember people used to travel by ship from the subcontinent to Africa. And it took them months on end. We used to write letters. I used to write letters when I was a child. We used to have a pen pal across the oceans. And the schools used to tell us, write a letter. Why? Just get to know someone else and the culture. The idea is to get to know people so that you can respect different people's ways of looking at the world or understand them at least. So we used to write a letter. It used to take a month to 6 weeks to get to the person. And then by the time they reply, it's a few days, sometimes a week, another month or 6 weeks. So 3 months, you get a response and you're writing another letter. And guess what? You only write a few throughout the year and your year is gone. MashaAllah. Today, I'm just going to jump straight to today. We communicate with people across the globe in real time by them looking at us and us looking at them. What I'm saying right now is heard across the globe. Anyone who wants to connect to the live stream may do so. SubhanAllah. Right now, it was impossible, unheard of, unthinkable just a few decades ago. Unthinkable. Wallahi, when we were little, we used to talk about things. We used to say, you know what? One day, you'll have a car that you just press a button, it starts flying. We've got it. We used to say, one day I'll be able to see the person I'm going to talk to. And then they would say, nah, that cannot happen. It can't be. Because televisions, just before 1990, I think, it was just the national TV and you had to connect to it. And you know, there were all these little black dots that you would get on a screen and you had to fine tune it. And some of them were actually with a knob that you had to actually look for the channel and then clean it as best as you could. And you can watch something nowhere near the clarity of today where you can count the hair on my nose right now. But people enjoyed it. Oh, TV, that uncle's got a TV. And the TV was the size of perhaps a huge, what can I say, a generator of today, right? A huge television. Not these thin little screens. You just have a screen like the screens that we have, the ones on my sides here. Simple, thin, beautiful, clear, crisp, high definition, HD, and then HDD, and then something called, what's it called? 4 something. What's it called? 4K, 5K, and whatever else. Mashallah, mashallah. You know what? With 5K, you can see what's not even there. You realized? You know why? We've arrived at an age where they can make you say words you've never said. It's happened to me. They can move your mouth and have your voice saying things you've never ever uttered, taking you places you've never ever been. And you see it in 6K and 10K. Mashallah. Because the guy who did it is getting paid about 10K, 5K. Right? Mashallah. The world has changed. We have to face that reality. We have to face it. But guess what? Your connection with Allah, if anything, should only become stronger. Everything that we have in terms of technology is only to facilitate our relationship with Allah, because as time has passed, man has become lazy in every single way, physically, mentally. I used to memorize almost 1,000 phone numbers. Maybe those of you my age and a little bit older would probably know. Yes, we knew numbers off by heart. Today we don't even know our own phone numbers in many cases. I was in Makkah last week, Medina. I have a SIM card. I don't even know what the number was. It's my own number. But guess what? I had the same one last time I visited. I still don't know what the number is. But I know I got to quickly check it and send the contact. What's your number? I say, I'll send it to you. I send it in the form of a contact, not in the form of a number. And you save it without looking at the number, but just as a contact, right? And then you send me a message without looking at the number. It's saved as a name. What happened? Your mind and your brain has gotten used to doing that. So now you cannot memorize numbers. If I were to take all of that away from you, you would go back to memorizing numbers, because man adapts to a certain degree to what is around him or her. Right? May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. So the world has changed. Now I want to tell you, who is, according to us as believers, as Muslimin, who do we believe is the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah? Say his name. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe that he is the best, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we believe. We believe his status is so high that no matter what we said, we would not be able to do justice to it. We say, may peace be upon him, after his name. Allah Almighty chose to keep him at a certain time in the history of this world, or in the existence of this world, where there was no running water from a tap. For water, he had to get water from a distance. Whether they did it for him or he did it at times himself, water was not easily available. Secondly, there was no electricity. There were no roads. There were no cars. There were no aircraft, airplanes, no airports, technology as we know it today, no internet, no phones. Why? 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 If Allah loves you so, so much, the most, and billions and trillions of people bear witness to that, why would he keep you at a time when it was difficult for you to even go from one place to another? It took them slow journey, 16 days to get to Medina, to get to Makkah between the two. Normal journey, 8 days. Fast journey, 4 days. Not really quicker than 4 days. Today, I promise you, not 4 hours, but you use the train, in 2 hours, you're already in Makkah. Why? Why would Allah do that? Why did Allah give me facility and you facility that he did not give the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him? It's a very important question. It is in order to show you and I that all of that holds no value in the eyes of Allah. A winner is the one who has a connection with Allah, with or without that technology. A lot of this, my brothers, my sisters, is a distraction. That's what it is. It's not easy. It's a distraction. Such a big distraction that many of us lose our way. I remember there was a scholar who said, not too long ago, he says, and I had to ask him why he said this. He says, if you have a phone, you must go through TikTok for a few minutes a day and swipe through to learn good things. Okay. Did you hear what he's saying? Encouraging people to go through TikTok every day for a few minutes. And I sat with him backstage later and I told him, Sheikh, what did you just say? He says, you know how much I've learned from TikTok? I said, that's because your algorithm is relatively clean. You've been learning things. I said, why don't you do yourself a favor? Get one of the youngsters and ask him, can you show me your TikTok? They will not show it to you. I say, why? Because they say, Sheikh, astaghfirullah, what do you want to do there? Right? It's the algorithm is relatively clean. It gets used to what you say around the phone. 2 days ago, I was talking about something and the phone started showing me the same thing because it hears me right now. The phone has now the ability to deliver this lecture that I'm delivering right now. Do you know that? All you got to do is get to that app of the artificial intelligence and say, please deliver a Mufti Menk lecture on this topic. And I promise you it will type it out for you in a short span of time, exactly the way it's delivered by me. It's happening. You might not know about it. It's there. It's there. People use it. And subhanAllah. So the reason he was saying this, he felt innocently, rightly so, there is a lot of goodness on TikTok. It's true. But at the same time, the distractions are even more. So you and I cannot say, don't use your phone, don't be on Instagram, don't be on TikTok, don't be on Facebook, please don't have WhatsApp, don't even be connected because it's so dangerous. We have to face reality and tell you, listen, I'm giving you a red hot coal. You're going to have to bounce it through your hands and put on the asbestos gloves so that you don't get burned, and make sure you use it in such a way that you will be proud of it on the day of judgment. But that doesn't mean I should tell you divorce yourself from it completely. There goes. In our homes, we've had young people. We've tried our best not to give them devices up to a certain age. Have you noticed that age is becoming less and less, younger and younger? Because it's the reality on the ground. They say, but I don't exist. I don't have a phone. But when you give them a phone, it's like you're on edge always. You want to see, what are you doing? How can you spy on me? Mom, you don't trust me. You know what? I trust you so much, but I don't trust Shaitan. I don't trust Shaitan, but I trust you so much. Shaitan will come. No, but you know, it's okay. It's just a friend. A friend, mashallah. A friend. And a little while later, what happens? The relationship begins to bend, mashallah. Allah forgive us. It's a reality. We swerve. So to be able to guide and speak to your children and keep a connection with your family and your friends and have decent friends is how you shall face reality. That's how you face reality. Do not lose the ties with those whom Allah has created you in the presence and the company of to the best of your ability. What that means is sometimes you have a toxic family member. It's really bad. I really cannot make it happen. You can take a step back. You're allowed to actually taper off a relationship with someone who's closely related to you if it is really toxic and deserving of that. I've had people who tell me, how could you ever tell someone that you're allowed to cut off a parent? But I tell you what, in some cases where that parent is involved in abuse of the particular child, what advice do you want to give them? You're going to say, no, but that's your dad. But my dad raped me. Astaghfirullah. Now what? Now speak. Are you going to say, but don't worry, Allah's given them a status. What status? They've abused their status. They've been abusive. They haven't empowered us. All the children want is a little bit of love, affection, together with the respect. It doesn't mean because it's your child in public, you can just abuse them. They also have to carry themselves to a certain degree in a way that would be acceptable to their friends and those around. Even if you don't know a single person in this crowd, respect your children in the presence of others. Just like you would like to be corrected behind closed doors. Subhanallah. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. So, the use of whatever we have in terms of social media is very important. There is a lot of goodness. There is a lot of goodness. You will learn so much even from something as simple as TikTok on condition that you tune yourself to ignore that which is harmful. When I walk on the streets of Luton, when I walk on the streets of Luton, what will I notice? I'll notice so many things. But what do I give importance to? I give importance to what is pleasing to Allah. And what do I actually keep myself away from? That which is considered low in terms of morals and values, that which is considered unacceptable in terms of my faith. For example, intoxicants. For example, to walk into a place where you know things are happening in there that would be displeasing to Allah. Or if someone is dressed in a way that you feel you would not dress because of your faith, what do you do? Number one, it's not easy to navigate through this, but it's a reality facing you. You will have to offer them the respect of a human being. You have to offer them the respect of the human being. That does not mean you agree with the way they're dressed for yourself. You don't. But do you become ugly? No, you don't. You're living in a country where the freedoms that are enshrined in the nation are the exact freedoms that have allowed them to do what they're doing, allowing you to do what you're doing. Subhanallah. It's something you need to think of. So what will I do? I would lower my gaze in a very respectful way. That is between you and Allah now. It's your relationship with Allah. So I need to look down. Now brother Umar is giving me the long look, you know, it's just, brother, I know what's crossing your mind. He must be thinking, well, I'm still, you know, the first look is permissible. The first look is permissible. I'm still looking. It's my first look, you know, subhanallah. And then what do? You say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And you look down, mashallah, astaghfirullah is not a password, by the way. Brother Umar is the only comedian. Well, mind you, there's another comedian sitting here as well, mashallah. Beautiful brother. Alhamdulillah, I just know him also from TikTok, by the way. Alhamdulillah. Allah grant you ease, my brother. So in reality, yes, there is a way of navigating through this. There is a way of looking and a way of doing things. You don't disrespect people who have differed with you. You don't disrespect people who have differed with you. And at the same time, you carry yourself in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I look down. And mashallah, if I need to greet them, I will greet. If I need to help them, I will help. But with utmost respect, such that by the time you're done, they would be nodding their heads. You know what? These people are really good people. What did you do? You gave da'wah. You called people towards your beautiful teachings and characteristics just by rendering assistance to a person who might not even have been dressed in a way that anyone you would have associated with in terms of friendship may have been dressed. But so what? We're citizens perhaps, we might be residents perhaps of the same place, or if not, at least they're right there in front of you. What would you do? Subhanallah. In the same way that I've just told you, when a physical meeting happens, be it in the malls, be it on the streets, you have to respect people who differ with you. Number one, that doesn't mean you compromise your goodness. Number two. Number three, if they require help, it doesn't mean you run away from them. Number four, when you help them at a time when they do need the help, carry yourself bearing in mind you belong to Allah. Carry yourself bearing in mind you belong to Allah. For example, you might have gone out to watch a football match. People might say, totally haram, unacceptable. Listen to whatever is being said. There are reasons. The people who say it's haram, the people who say it's okay, those who say it's permissible, do you know what? They give you guidelines. They don't just blanket permissible, just go and do what you want. So now you go to the stadium and you just start doing whatever you want. No, you may go if you do go. And if you feel that you have to go, and if that's the opinion that you follow, but you're governed still by the times of Salah, aren't you? You're still, your dress code, the way you carry yourself, the words you say, and so on. You don't need to utter those abusive, vulgar words just because everyone else is doing it. You know, the F word is no longer a swear word in some communities. It's just how to say hello. How the F are you, brother? That's what they say. Astaghfirullah. I promise you, and that they're just greeting. They're just greeting. Sorry, not you, by the way. Habibi. Habibi. Mashallah. I got to say, how the alhamdulillah are you, my brother? Mashallah. But it's a reality. People have made it such that no one remembers where it came from. It's actually a very bad, vulgar swear word, man. Can you not carry yourself with a little bit of respect? Let's face reality. I don't need to drop down to the level. Become conscious of it. Train yourself to become pure in your language. Allah will grant you acceptance to utter good words at the time of your death. Because I tell you what, at the time of death, there are pangs, pangs of death, where you may feel a bit of pain, a little bit of this, to a certain point beyond which Allah takes you away. But as you feel the pain, or as the accident's made, or as whatever's going to be taking you finally away is happening, you don't want to say, oh, yeah, you know, and so on. Notice I didn't pronounce the T. Yeah. But at the same time, that's what it is. People start saying those words. Is it really a bad word? No, it's not such a bad word, but is that the word you want to end your life upon? Come on. مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever's last words upon their tongues as they're leaving this life and this world is لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, they shall be granted entry into Jannah. Everything else is just gone one side. Why? Because I said a beautiful word as I ended. Allahu Akbar. Get yourself used to it. Something happens, say, لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. It's better than saying, oh, F. Right? Astaghfirullah. I'm just saying it the way it is. That's all. As it is, the theme of our Light Upon Light this year is facing reality. That's what it is. My brothers, my sisters, we've been blessed. Allah's given us technology that He did not give those before us. Allah's given us a means of keeping ourselves warm with clothing that they wouldn't have dreamt would have come about in existence at this particular time. You have beautiful, warm clothing that's quite thin. MashaAllah, they say it's pure wool, it's this, it's, what do they call it? Heated and something else. There's some words that they use to depict the long johns that you'd be wearing inside and whatever else it might be. MashaAllah, they didn't have it. Does this thing bring you closer to Allah or does it create a distance? If it is a distraction, here we are today to tell you, let's face reality, and rather than making it a distraction away from Allah, we should make it a means of getting closer to Allah. You have your phone, so what do? Well, I booked the Light Upon Light event. Kudos, mashallah. And by the way, I booked the comedy event that's going to be happening this evening, inshallah, also in Luton, mashallah. That's also permissible, by the way, mashallah. It's called Halaliwood, mashallah. May Allah grant you guys ease and goodness. My brothers, my sisters, I listen to Quran on my phone. My phone bears witness for me. I did something good. It will bear witness for me. Allah will bring about your devices, your gadgets, and whatever you have to bear witness on the day of judgment. Ask Allah, oh Allah, I am so sinful. Grant me entry into your Jannah through your mercy, not through my deeds. I'm going to be so embarrassed if you're going to see my deeds on that day. Oh Allah, forgive me. I seek forgiveness. Make me a better person. Help me to improve. Help me to get closer to you. Help me establish my prayer. Help me be charitable and think about others who are in need. Oh Allah, help me to become a better person. Strengthen me so that this one sin that is bogging me down, I can quit it and cut it. Oh Allah, grant me strength so that I can cut my sins. Keep praying to Allah. We all have that one sin that we're struggling with, everyone, 100% of us, minor or major, depends on the different people. But we all have a sin or two or more sometimes that we're struggling with. We know, hey, you know what? I need to get rid of this. I need to do this to please Allah and get rid of this to please Allah. To please Allah meaning to get to a level where I feel I have a better relationship with Allah. I know what's right and wrong. We all have these things because we're human beings. There's no exception. Nobody can stand up here today and say, you know what, I'm cool, man. There's nothing I need to do that I don't do, and there's nothing I need to stay away from that I don't stay away from. No chance, no chance. If there is any one of you here like that, see me later. May Allah grant you goodness. May Allah help us to get to a point where we feel we're doing much better. But When you feel you're doing much better, don't belittle others, because that's another trap Shaitan uses to get to us. You know, you see things that happen online, again, facing reality. Like I said, I've given you an example of what happens when you're on the street. You will see so many things that perhaps you're not supposed to be participating in, engaging in, or being like, and so on, actions, activities of people. What do? You carry yourself with utmost respect. You remember the time of your prayer. If you're in the stadium or wherever else you might be, that doesn't mean you quit your prayer. The one prayer is better than the whole world and whatever it has. And if you've missed a prayer for some reason, do it as soon as you can. Fulfill it. Allah's blessed you. Allah's made things easy for you. There is a time, like I said, today we have heaters, we have electricity, we have motor vehicles, we have transport, we have so much more that's happening. And you know what? It's Allah's favor. Are you going to make it easier for yourself to pray or to commit sin? People say, oh, now I've got a phone, I can be in touch. You know, I can do this, I can do that. Be in touch with Allah to commence with. Be in touch with the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as you face reality, in all honesty, the same should apply when it comes to whatever you're doing on your devices. This device is by far the biggest change that has happened to humankind in a long, long time. It has changed all of us. There was a time when just to take a photograph was a mission. When I was young, let me tell you, there was a 110 film that you had to get and open it into a Kodak and put it into there, close it. Prior to that, it was out. When I was very little, I remember going to get passport photos. The guy put us into such a dark room and put like cloth, like black cloth, and he had a little, like a big typewriter sort of a thing, and he started turning something round, and then he says, okay, that's fine, it's done. I say, what's done? He says, don't worry, you come next week, you get the pictures. Next week, next week. Imagine if that had to happen now, subhanallah. Next week, we have become so impatient that we want everything here and now. Technology, it should happen today, here and now. You know, to buy an airline ticket was such a mission. You had to visit an office, and they had to... It was such a mission, trust me. Travel agents became semi-redundant as a result of technology. The post office has changed completely. When last have you sent someone a letter by snail mail? Hardly ever. Someone told me, I need to send you a letter, but it has to be your PO box. I said, it's not going to come to me. So just leave it. Tell me what you want right now. No, it has to be by letter. Have fun. It's okay. You don't want to listen to what I'm saying. Go have fun. Enjoy yourself. May Allah Almighty grant ease. The last time I used the word have fun was on my way here, because we were on this narrow road coming, and we were early, and we're coming a narrow road here in Luton on the side, and there's cars coming, and we're like stuck, like no one's giving us way. So I said, brother, let's be on the side. On the side as best as you can. Let one vehicle pass, and then you know what? Have fun with the others. What does that mean? We're just going to wait until they reverse. The brother was so good. He says, no, let us reverse, because you might be late. You know, the guys in Luton won't, they park up there and they probably have their chai, karak and whatever else it is. Allah grant ease, mashallah. I'm beginning to love this place, mashallah. But my brothers and sisters, here we are. Thank Allah for what He's blessed you with, and use it to get closer to Allah. That was the message that I had for you in this first beautiful speech of facing reality. Because we cannot divorce ourselves from a world that we are living in. It's impractical. No one can tell me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, I'll end up doing nothing. You know, you can't, whatever. You need to go to the university. You will go, you shall go, you must go. You need to be educated. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it would be wrong not to be educated. But while you're there, carry yourself respectfully. That's all you need to know. I need to do the right thing. I need to have the right company. I need to be focused on what I'm here for. And that's it. And then you may achieve more than people who ever thought you would. Subhanallah, I've had some who've come out with amazing results, and they're doing tremendous work, yet to get to the university was a big struggle because of the people around them. You know, the culture has had to, wherever it has moved forward, modify itself based on the times we're living in order for us to be able to make use of whatever we have around us while we do. But sometimes it was a struggle for us. I think now the generations that are there, it's being made a little bit easier. But still in some countries, it's not easy. Imagine the daughter comes about and says, you know what, I need to go to school. I need to go to high school. In some countries, they probably tell you, are you crazy? Are you mad? But they don't realize you cannot tell someone to divorce themselves from the reality. You've rather got to show them how to navigate through it, because in your absence, they're going to have to be there anyway. Without taking names, let me explain. Sometimes you have a scenario where you've been blocked, you've been stopped for years on end from even facing reality. So the day the person passes away, or the day you're suddenly released, woo-hoo, you can imagine what's going to be happening there. Everything haram is suddenly looked at. Oh, finally, I'm getting this opportunity. Hey, why? Because you were in a totally blocked situation, which was unrealistic. They never taught you how to navigate through whatever you're going to see on earth, whatever you're going to come interact. My little daughter, one of my daughters, she comes to me and says, you know, at school, they talk like this and they do like this. I don't want to go there anymore because, you know, it's so filthy. And I said, you know what, my child, that's the reality. If they say those things, you don't say those things. If they're doing bad things, you don't do bad things. And whenever you get a chance, try to talk to them about what to do and what not to do, and what's good and what's not good, and so on. But if I pull you out of the school simply because of some things you're listening to, or you've seen, or you've come across that are negative and so on, what would happen? You will have to pull yourself out of life in totality. You can't just come in. Tell people, that's it. You know what? It's very difficult and that, and there we are. Yes. The day that you are not allowed to be who you need to be, and the day that you are finding it impossible to live as a believer, you might want to consider perhaps getting into a situation that may facilitate that for you. You might want to consider moving into an area where it may be easy for you. You're finding it's becoming a little bit dangerous. You're finding it's becoming unsafe. You will have to make beautiful decisions. But you know what? You're going to have to swim in the deep end. So learn how to swim. The water's all around you. You're going to have to swim. Whatever you do, don't swallow that water. Whatever you do, don't swallow that water. So we ask Allah Almighty to help us navigate through the challenges that we're facing. The world has become a better place in terms of technology, but not necessarily a better place in terms of the understanding between humankind. As we're educated, we're becoming arrogant at the same time. We're beginning to think we're the only people who have the right to think, and anyone who thinks differently from us is totally out of bounds. They need to be fought until they think like us. Unfortunately, that's what intelligent people think nowadays. So they think perhaps shaitan doesn't come to them. Do you know what? You're trapped in what? In your arrogance. I've always said money can bring about the chance for a person to show their true colors. So if you've become arrogant, it's because under low key you always were. It's just that your money has now given you the chance to show it. It can happen. And I know of some of the wealthiest people who are extremely humble, you won't even know. Subhanallah. Guess what? The problem with knowledge and education is even worse. It's even worse. You get your degree, you're always first in class, you're always tops, you're always this and that. You know what? If you start thinking and feeling that sense of arrogance, the sense that others are nothing and look where I am, you know what? You're heading in the wrong direction. And that's why, notice, Allah has never kept a direct connection between your education and the amount of money you have. Have you noticed that? The richest are the thickest. Not always. Sorry, not always. But what I mean is, look at the globe. They're the people who fell out of school sometimes. They're the people who didn't do so well. They lost here, lost there. They tried harder and so on. There are exceptions, and the exceptions are becoming a little bit more. But, nowadays, it does not mean that you're highly educated so you're actually correct all the time. Doesn't mean that. Sometimes you're highly educated. That's the reason why you're wrong. Because you did not drop yourself to the level of the reality on the ground across the globe. You travel, are you going to respect others? The answer is no. They must do what I do. They must think the way I think. I'm the sharpest, I'm the most intelligent, I'm the most advanced, and that's what it is. And if they don't think the way I do, and if they don't want to do things exactly the way I think is the right thing, we're going to fight them. That's the attitude of countries sometimes. And that's why I face reality. Calm down. Learn to respect people with a difference. What did I start with? I started by saying when you see something that perhaps you feel you wouldn't do or you are not going to be a part of because of your faith or whatever other reason it is, are you not going to offer them human respect? Are you going to spit at them and swear at them? No, not at all. I'm a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. I see the silence here. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly to grant you all goodness. I'm looking forward to the second part of my session that has been facilitated by these brothers towards the end of this particular day. And until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.